Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Happy New Year, such as it is. Okay. John is really different, isn't it, from the other Gospels? Each of the Gospels has its own slant, but John is way off by itself. Well, how so? If you look at the traditional symbols for the Gospels, it'll tell you a lot. Mark is a lion, like our old St. Mark's logo. Some of you have seen that. Remember? The lion. A lion is a symbol for royalty, and Mark begins by announcing the arrival of a king. Matthew's symbol is a man because it opens with a genealogy. Who came from whom? Luke is an ox, a service animal, which represents Jesus' life of service and sacrifice. John's symbol is an eagle, the bird that flies high and sees deeply and far. John is often called the philosophical gospel, but it opens with a poem about the creation and how the Christ, the Son, was part of it. And not only that, but how light and life itself came into the world in the man Jesus. Who was John, and why did he write this way? Well, what I found in working on this was that John was a Greek Christian from Ephesus, which is now in Turkey. Some of you may have been there. He wrote his gospel around the year 100. It was the last gospel to be written. By then, Christians were overwhelmingly Gentile and Hellenistic. Their language and culture were Greek. They had no ties to Judaism and generally found Jewish ideas and practices alien and often unattractive. The terms Messiah and Savior meant nothing to them. As an evangelist, John had to find common ground. I remember walking up the path to the Parthenon in Athens. Some of you probably done that too. And looking down at the bare round top of a hill. And that was the Areopagus, also known as Mars Hill, where Paul talked with the Greek philosophers. He mentions their altar to an unknown god and says, "What therefore you worship is unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it." He concludes by quoting a Greek philosopher. "In him we live and move and have our being." That might be familiar to some of you. It's in the prayer book, in the morning prayer, right? John's challenge was to proclaim that this unknown God has come among them in Jesus. He needed to build a bridge between Jewish and Greek cultures. And the link that he found was the Word. For the Jews, as one scholar says, the spoken word was fearfully alive. It was a unit of energy charged with power. The Word of God is everywhere in the Hebrew Scriptures, the prophets, the Psalms, the wisdom books, Genesis. "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." When God speaks, creation happens. "My word will not return to me empty," Isaiah writes, "but it will accomplish that which I have proposed." For the Jews, word meant God. Well, it did for the Greeks too. In their culture, the word was the logos, the mind or reason of God. The Logos was the power that created the universe and kept it going. They used Logos much as the Jews used the Word. Here was the link between Jew and Greek that John sought. But the Greeks had a problem with Logos. Their Logos was all-powerful, but remote and inaccessible. Like people throughout time, they yearned to know firsthand this unknown God. In fact, the Greeks saw the Logos, God, as so far out there, so remote, that they saw this world and their lives as shadows, mere copies of the real world which lay beyond. Any of you in college who suffered through freshman philosophy probably had to read Plato, so some of that might be familiar to you. They were living in a shadow land. Only in death would they know the unknown God and experience reality. That's a pretty hard way to live, living in a shadow, like none of this is real. For John, the good news was the answer to this problem. For the Greek, the most powerful words in John's gospel are this stunning proclamation. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Author Frederick Buechner, one of my favorites, tells us directly what this might mean. He says, when God wanted to say what God was all about and what humankind was all about and what life was all about, it wasn't a sound that emerged, but a man. Jesus was his name. He was dynamite. He was the Word of God. In Jesus, John tells his fellow Greeks, God opened a window in time to bring the Logos, the mind and reason of God, to earth, to live among you and lead you out of the shadow you live in into the real world. Yeah, right here, right now. That is what he means when he says the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Real life, not a shadow. Light and life are twin themes in John's gospel. Life is mentioned more than 35 times, and light, 21. Life and light. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Read John and look for these themes, life and light. You'll find plenty of them. John gives us a different Jesus than the other three Gospels. Missing are key stories, like the Transfiguration, the Last Supper. We have healing miracles. But for John, they are less about compassion and more about being signs of God's glory, breaking into time and human life. The word sign is often used in John's gospel. What Jesus does are signs of his glory, of God being present among them, among everyone. The healing of the royal official's son in Capernaum was the second sign that Jesus did after coming from Judea to Galilee. Well, the first was the wedding in Cana, where he turned water into wine. The gospel writer John says, this was the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and his disciples, revealing his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This was the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, revealing his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And there are a lot of other ones too. You remember the story of Lazarus, the man born blind. There are many others. I want to mention one other thing that came to me in studying John's prologue. There is a feminine current that runs throughout Scripture, but usually it's lost in translation or at least submerged. In our reading, all things came to be through him. The original Greek conveys the sense that all things are literally birthed through the union of God and Son. Similarly, those who accept the Son receive the power to become children of God. Once again, the Greek says they are birthed into children of God. There is the word born, but it's really more general. We are all subject to translators, because we don't read the original languages. I don't. So I rely on good commentators who can lead you, and scholars that can lead you to this kind of thing. This is important. They're birthed into the children of God. This feminine action is hidden in the translation, came to be and to become. In the last verse, the Son is close to the Father's heart. The Greek gives the meaning as at the breast or bosom of the Father. Now, bosom is unisex. I mean, you've heard of bosom buddies. You all probably have some. But bosom means generally feminine. It's generally feminine when related to the body. So the term bosom is unisex. But when used in connection with a body, it takes on a feminine meaning. In our reading today, most significantly, the word is associated with wisdom, or Sophia, as she is known. A female. Wisdom says, speaking in the book of Proverbs, when he established the heavens, I was there, like a master worker. Wisdom is synonymous with word. So the feminine colors God's presence in and through creation. Yes, she's there. Yeah. In his first letter, John writes, we declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. We are writing so that our joy may be complete. John's Jesus is the one he knew in his heart, the one he believed everybody else could know too, if they could keep their hearts open and believe. Believe, so that your joy too may be complete as we leave this year and begin anew. Amen.